You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to Real Talk with me, Mason Bray. You probably haven't heard that intro in a long time because I haven't done it for my interviews, and we've been packed with them for the past 3 months. We haven't had this type of sit-down and chat episode that I miss. I hope that you guys miss it somewhat. I know that the interviews are fascinating, and I hope that I can have more coming soon that you all will enjoy. But we have a few things to talk about. So first of all, Tony nominations are out. So let me go through. Scenic design. We have a few people from Real Talk represented in the Tony Award nominations, which is fantastic. I'm so glad to see people that I know. Like Scott Pask for American Buffalo. His scenic design is nominated for a Tony Award. And then scrolling down a little bit, we also have Bradley King, nominated for Best Lighting Design of a Musical for Flying Over Sunset. But Best Costume Design for a Musical. We're going to start off this episode with a hot take. Diana's costumes and costume changes are stunning. Like, so beautiful. Definitely award-worthy. But the designer, why do we keep supporting him? If you don't know what I'm talking about, please research. And maybe that should go to, like, his associates on the project and not necessarily him. Because he has enough Tony Awards. And I don't think we should support that type of person in this age of theater and some of the stories that are even being told in this season. But moving on from that, Best Sound Design for a Play, Dana H. needs the Tony Award. It needs it. And yes, it is produced by Dori Berenstein and other people from the Broadway Podcast Network, but I think that that show was fascinating from the moment that the idea came up. And just putting this out there, I have not seen any of these shows, but it's fine. I can give my opinion because, Best Book for a Musical. I think this is going to be one of the hard ones. It's going to be MJ versus Strange Loop in my mind, but I think Strange Loop might come out on top. I have like a full document of like all of my predictions. Let me know if you want to see it. It's probably not going to be right. Best Original Score written for the theater. Six the Musical. If anyone knows me, I have beef with Six. But for the stupidest reason ever. Because Waitress was at the Brookside Institute and then Six was there. So I automatically blamed it on Six. But I need to listen to it and take the time to listen to it because it's really good. There's some that I don't have opinions on, like feature roles. Since I haven't seen them perform, I haven't been able to understand their approach to it. But I know that Jared Grimes in Funny Girl is iconic. My boss was talking about that and how amazing he is at TAP. But yeah, I think I would love to see him win a Tony Award for Funny Girl. And that's also, I believe that is the only Tony Award that Funny Girl is nominated for, which is insane. And going deeper into that, I think people went to the show expecting to see Barbara Streisand. And they didn't understand that Beanie Feldstein is not Barbara Streisand. And they are having a hard time accepting that because from what I've heard, it's a phenomenal show. Design-wise, choreography-wise, all of that kind of stuff. And it's been snubbed from so many of these awards, which I think it would probably be up in the running, if not win, Best Choreography. But we'll get to that. Featured actress in a musical. I'd love to say Patti LuPone, but she has enough Tony Awards. Let's share the wealth. To the share the wealth card. Jennifer Samard, I think Company would be a great choice. L. Morgan Lee for A Strange Loop. Shoshana Bean for Mr. Saturday Night. I saw a tweet that was like, she deserves the Tony Awards for carrying that show on their back. And I don't even know anything about that show. But take that as you will. It's hard with plays because for musicals, you get cast recordings and all that kind of stuff. But I have no clue for these plays. So I know that Miles Frost deserves the Tony Award for Best Actor in a Leading Role in a Musical. I know that he deserves that. from what I've seen, what I've heard about the show, the reviews, fantastic. And then for color girls who have considered suicide when the rainbow isn't enough, I know that there is an ad in my podcast for the show and like a partnership with the Broadway Podcast Network. And I think that this direction of this play has been really moving to people all over theater Twitter and all over theater in general. And I would love to see it win that award because the photos look so moving and meaningful. And then best direction of a musical, Strange Loop. I am so glad that it's nominated for so many awards, and I think that it deserves every single one of them. But there is so many good shows this year. Like, scenic design is a hard category this year. We didn't get to talk much about that. But for play, not biased, but American Buffalo, the detail in that set is phenomenal. And scenic design for musical, I think it's between three, Company, Strange Loop, and MJ. I would love to see any of those win. Best orchestrations. See, maybe Six or MJ. I think one of those two. But also, Charlie Rosin, I interviewed you at the Tony Awards last year. It was fantastic meeting you. I would love to see him win again for Strange Loop. Best choreography, MJ. Best revival of musical, Company. But there's only three nominees. That is not full. Where's Funny Girl? First of all, it was open on time. I know that for sure. Where is she? Where's Funny Girl? And then I don't have any opinions on Best Play because I haven't seen any of them. And then Best Musical. Okay. It's down to three. The three that I think it could be are MJ, Six the Musical, and A Strange Loop. Any of those three I think would be fantastic wins. And honestly, great representation that we didn't see last year in September. And I would love to have those people come through the press room, and I hope that I get to be there again. But moving on to my next topic. I went to Chicago this past weekend and saw two beautiful shows. One was Winnie the Pooh, one of the cutest, most adorable shows I've ever seen. I was sad that we didn't get playbills for it, and I didn't have the money on top of the Pooh Bear to get one of the memorabilia books. But that show, it was obviously geared towards the little ones in the audience or people who connected more to the story. But I was so glad that I could see that show because the set from the moment that you walk in with the carrot spelled out K-E-R-I-T-S, beautiful. I loved it. And watching the kids' faces when the leaves fell, when it turned to fall, and then the snow, it was the cutest thing ever, and I will never get over that. So it was my first two-show day, and you might be asking, Mason, what was your second show of the day? Let me tell you. Moulin Rouge. Oh my god. That was one of the best shows that I have ever seen, hands down. And everyone has been telling me, Mason, it's not a good show, it's just like a spectacle. Yeah, that's really all that shows need to be sometimes. And it is a good story. It is a good story. And I saw it on tour on the 30th in Chicago, but that didn't diminish the quality of the performance. Like, Connor and Courtney were the greatest couple ever. Their voices are so beautiful, and I want to listen to Connor do the Opt Up and Roxanne every single day of my entire life. Not even joking. Because he did it, and Mom, if you're listening to this, I'm so sorry. I slapped my mother. I, like, whispered. I was like, is he gonna do it? And then I slapped my mom when he did it. It's fine. And then I met them after the show, and they are the sweetest people ever. Like, I will never get over Moulin Rouge. And I emailed the lighting designer this week, just, like, out of nowhere. And I was like, and then how many light cues are there in the show? And he said that there were over 1,000 light cues. And me as a lighting person, that's insane. Insane. But the lighting has left an impact over a week later, and I have not stopped thinking about it. Like, it tells such a story that I can only hope to be able to tell one day, which is amazing. The choreography, Sonia Taya really outdid herself on both Broadway and on tour to translate this beautiful story into beautiful dance. And I know people are like, but it's not the movie. The movie is amazing. Small confession, I have not seen the movie, but I still thought the show was splendid, fabulous, fantastic. Any adjective that you could think of to describe a show, it was that. I could talk about Moulin Rouge for days, and I quite literally have. It's fine. Everything's fine. I was talking about that with Eli. If you listen to that episode, everything is fine. But yeah, that's the things that I wanted to come on and talk about, because I didn't just want to post this all on my Instagram story or like on Twitter, even though I have already posted this on Twitter. I wanted to get to sit down and talk with you guys. Since I didn't have an interview this week, I wanted to connect with you as much as possible. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you. The support and the love that I've been feeling on Twitter, on Instagram, is the greatest thing ever. Thank you so much for being here. And I hope that you will continue to join me throughout the rest of season 7. We are a few weeks from the end, but I'll hope to see you back in season 8 in just a few months.
Have you ever wondered how your favorite performer actually feels? Well, here's your chance. Welcome to The Quiet Part Out Loud with me, Bobby Steggert, Broadway actor, and now a therapist to a whole host of Broadway creatives. Part interview, part therapy, this is not your typical podcast. We'll go right to the heart of things with some of your favorite artists, what they still struggle with, what lessons they've learned, what they haven't figured out yet. There's enormous power in saying the quiet part out loud. Are you listening?
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.